Hello, so this is the third podcast in the series about Roman fashion. So we've talked a little bit about what fashion meant to Romans and also about different styles that Romans wore, denoting certain classes and positions that they held. So this segment is going to be about color and fabric. So color was actually a really important part of what Romans wore. Well, every Roman, plebeians and patricians alike, could wear colored garments. Not everyone could afford certain colors. So again, it was another way that you saw class distinctions. And that's kind of a similar thing to the fabrics, because wool was actually the most common fabric, so you got it from sheep. Mostly people preferred light fabrics so that they could dye them or bleach them white. Darker wools were used for work, so stuff that would get dirty easily. But stuff like silk, which was imported from China, was sort of seen as a decadence. In fact, there were some cases where people were trying to get it limited or even outlawed because it was seen as a sign of immorality, especially on women, of course. Linen was also a really common fabric that was used. It was made from hemp, but it didn't absorb dyes well, and so it was usually used as is, as like a light gray, white material. And cotton was something else that was inexpensive, a lot less expensive than, say, wool or linen, and it was also easy to dye. So that was something especially that was used in the summer because it was lightweight, so it wasn't as hot, especially because Romans did wear so much fabric that anything that could make it a little more comfortable was better. Weaving and spinning was considered sort of ideal work for Roman women. Patrician women usually had their equipment, so their spinning wheels and such, placed semi-publicly so that it could be a display in their homes that they had these capabilities and that they were upholding this sort of ideal. And high-class brides were expected to make their own wedding garments. So if we think about when we talked about the Rape of Lucretia and how she was seen as the most desirable wife because she was upholding this moral ideal for women and wives because she was staying at home while her husband was gone and weaving. And so that's kind of something that's interesting because mostly patrician families didn't really need to make their own materials, but it was seen as like sort of a status or a morality thing, and image sort of meant everything to Romans, so that's a good enough reason for that. Fabric in general was really expensive, so you know, anyone could go to the market and buy fabric, but doing so could be over a third of your annual salary. So same thing with the military, because those who enlisted were expected, up until a certain point in Roman history, to pay for all of their own equipment and uniforms, which is why only certain people were allowed to join the military and keep gaining wealth, until regulations changed and then, you know, it started being paid for them. But materials for clothing, because I guess it was such an important expression, makes sense that it would be expensive. So now we're going to talk about color itself. So like I said, color was another way to sort of separate people by class, rank, wealth, and status. So a yellow fabric was really costly because it was made from saffron, and it was actually associated with purity. So Roman brides would wear this for weddings. And actually, saffron sold today goes for thousands and thousands of dollars per pound, $10,000 a kilogram. So it's still a really costly material to make, and that definitely would have been something that was a wealth divide in ancient Rome, because not everyone was able to afford the saffron or yellow garments. There were reds made using madder root or kermes insects, and so there were obviously different shades of red, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, but the kermes insect is kind of interesting because dyes later, like post-Renaissance, used a completely different insect called cochineal. And so when I was looking into kermes and why it was used, basically you just grind it up and the old husk is red because of all like the blood and everything like that. So the powder that it makes is red. But if you try and buy kermes today, first of all, it's very rare even on natural dye websites, and it's also very expensive. It's $70 usually per gram, or something close to that. So again, something that might have been a class distinction in ancient Rome. Now, something that probably a lot of people have heard of is what's called Tyrian purple. So it was probably the most sought after dye. It was made from the shells of murex snails. So a single toga could take 10,000 murex snails in order to dye, depending on the coloration that you wanted, because in the dyeing process, the amount obviously of dye and then the duration of time that you're leaving it in the dye will make it so the color will vary. And so the most desired Tyrian purple was this deep sort of blood red. And there was it was kind of seen as a strong tie to divinity and royalty. It was actually only allowed in certain togas on certain places. So there was one toga where it was allowed on the border of the toga, and one type of toga that was actually allowed to be the Tyrian purple. But overall, I think that just kind of shows that, again, Romans are still suspicious of kingship, and so anything even remotely aligned with power, divinity, royalty is going to be met with a lot of suspicions by ancient Romans, even though it was, again, seen as a status symbol. So it was pretty common, especially post-imperial, obviously. There was actually a way to make a sort of counterfeit Tyrian purple using indigo as the base and mixing it with reds. And so you could get different types of Tyrian purple, but it's sort of equivalent to, I guess, a knockoff of, you know, designer brand today. So it's not as respected or respectable that you didn't pay an exorbitant amount for thousands of snails to make your Tyrian purple and went the shortcut way instead. Hey, so that was the end of my podcast and the end of the series on Roman fashion. This is my first try at podcast, so hopefully it worked out okay. I know they're a little short, but hopefully you learned something about Roman fashion, color, style, that stuck with you.